no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from High Adventure. We'll hear Metamorphosite, their story from October 8, 1950. After that, it's the Beasley Girls from Fort Laramie. That episode aired March 18, 1956.
I sat there at my rotary grinder and watched the calendar. I didn't have to mark the days off. I knew when they were. It was tomorrow I'd have to go watch grinder in the soapy water, watch it, and tomorrow I'd have to go watch it, watch it, watch it.
This is Metamorphosite, a suspense story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. This is High Adventure, the telling of strange stories of strong men living the greatest and most exciting moment of a lifetime, their moment of high adventure. And on the agenda at the meeting is a story called Metamorphosite, the author and director, Robert Monroe. And to tell it, here's the man who lived it, Van Morone. Van?
I guess everybody in the world has a problem. Maybe a lot of people have had the same kind I have. I don't know, because I never had the chance to find out. I had a pretty sheltered life when I grew up. My parents always saw that I got everything I wanted. But they died soon after I married Jody, and I had to go out and make a living. I was never used to working with people too much, so when I got the job with Rustler and Martin's, it was pretty hard. It wasn't much, just handling a rotary surface grinder to polish the sides of knife blades. I don't know how long it was I'd been working there, maybe 5 or 6 years, when this problem started. We'd been invited out on a very special dinner engagement, and I was having trouble finding the place.
You think he'd at least have told you the right address?
I got it right now, Jody. It was 323 instead of 232.
Are you sure?
The drugstore had a new phone book, so it must be right.
Well, I wouldn't invite anybody to dinner and make them have to stop and look up the address.
Mr. Evans probably thought I knew it.
More than likely, he told you and you forgot it.
Oh, no, I don't think he did.
I wouldn't be surprised. You even forgot he asked us until today, then you suddenly remembered. Oh, Van, I don't know what I'm going to do with you sometimes.
It was weeks ago that he asked us, Jody.
Suppose you'd forgotten completely about it.
Wouldn't do that.
You might have. Suppose you didn't remember until tomorrow. Your employer, your boss, asked you to dinner. First time he's shown any interest
now,
in
Jody.
You. And, oh, I don't know. And don't call me Jody.
All right, Joe. Josephine.
Look at these beautiful big homes.
They are big.
I wonder what it's like to live in a house that big.
Mr. Evans lives along here somewhere.
323, remember?
Yes, Jody.
There's 319. The next one, Van.
Oh, it's a big place.
It should be, with the money he's got. Don't turn so fast.
It was sharper than it looked.
Isn't that a beautiful lawn?
Nice and green.
Drive up to the front entrance, Van.
All right.
Must be the gardener there by the flower bed.
Yes, I guess they can afford... Oh, no, that's Mr. Evans.
You sure?
Sure. I've seen him when he came through the shop.
I still don't understand it. He doesn't even know you to speak to you, and he invites... Stop the car, Van.
Well, I thought you said to drive up to
It'll
the
front. It'll be nice and informal to greet Mr. Evans while he's relaxed with his flowers. It's probably his hobby, Van. Stop right up there.
All right, Jody.
Please, Van. Josephine.
I'm sorry.
Very courteous. He's not even bothering to come meet us.
Well, maybe he wants us to go to the house.
No. We can be as informal as he can. Come on.
Yes?
Hello, Mr. Evans.
How do you do?
We're a little late because I didn't get the house number right.
Late?
Of course, not much, but I thought I'd better tell you why.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Well, it's not important, I guess, because Jody says it's stylish to be a little late, but I thought
I'm Mrs. Marola, Mr. Evans. I don't trust Van to getting around to formal introductions.
Mrs. Marola?
I think you have a very lovely bed of perennials. Don't you think so, Van?
Hmm? Oh, yes.
It must be your hobby.
I like to put her around.
I understand. I do, too. I think it was so nice of you to invite Van and myself.
Invite you?
I don't believe Van even thought you remembered him.
Now, one moment, please.
But then when he said you'd asked us for dinner, well, frankly, I was as surprised as he was.
There must be some mistake here.
Mistake?
There must be.
Van said you were Mr. Evans.
I am.
Now, Jody.
The Mr. Evans who owns Russell and Marden's Hardware?
Yes.
Then there's no mistake.
I'm sorry, but there is. I don't believe we've met before.
Of course you haven't met me, but you know my husband, Van.
Do I?
Why, yes, Mr. Evans. I work in the grinding room at the plant.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, your face is somewhat familiar.
This is the night you asked us for dinner.
I asked you to dinner?
That's right. You remember?
I'm sorry, but I don't.
What?
Van.
I don't recall inviting you to dinner. As a matter of fact, I don't even know your name.
Well, of course you do. I'm Van Marola. I work on the Blanchard, grinding 264 blades.
I'm always glad to meet my employees personally, Marola, but this is hardly the place and time.
You didn't invite us to dinner tonight?
I'm sorry, no.
Of course you did, Mr. Evans.
When?
Well, a couple of weeks ago. I was demagnetizing the chuck, and just as I was about to put a new piece on the
plate... If you'll excuse me.
You came over and put your arm around my shoulder, and you said, Van...
You must have been drunk.
Oh.
And I want to tell you
no,
I don't...
You said, Van, I want you and the wife to come up to my place for dinner.
I'm sure I didn't say any such thing.
Well, then I asked you when, and you said 3 weeks from that Friday. I almost forgot about it until today, but... Well, here we are.
That's the strangest fabrication I ever heard. What are you after, Marola?
Well, I'm not after anything. We just came to dinner like you asked us to.
I didn't ask you to dinner.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. You must have been dreaming.
Dreaming?
Now, will you kindly leave my premises, or shall I call someone to show you off?
Dreaming.
Come on, Van. I've never been so embarrassed in my entire life. Van, how could you do it?
I don't know.
To make up such a wild lie as that. I don't blame Mr. Evans, whatever he thinks of us. Didn't you know that you'd be found out? Did you think you could walk right into somebody's house and put across a story like that? Oh, Van.
I don't know.
Why didn't you tell me it was a joke or something? If I'd known it was a lie or a joke, but to make up something like this and then try to brazen it out. Did you think I wanted to have dinner with the great Mr. Evans that much? Why did you do it, Van? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Dreaming. I couldn't tell my own wife, Jody. I couldn't tell Mr. Evans how right he'd been. The moment he'd said it, I knew it had been a dream. I dreamed that he's asked us to dinner, and as the weeks passed, I turned the dream into reality. I hadn't lied. I was sure it had actually happened. I was sure of it. But it had only been a dream. We drove home, ate without saying a word, and I lay down on the couch in the front room. Jody was somewhere in the kitchen washing the dishes. She was unhappy, and I was the cause of it. I wouldn't let it happen again. I wouldn't let it happen again.
Van? Van? Van, are you asleep?
What? Oh, no, dear, I'm awake.
I'll have dinner ready in a few minutes.
Jody.
Yes?
Come here.
What do you want, honey?
I quit my job today.
Good.
Old man Evans wanted me to stay, but I quit.
Serves him right, trying to bribe you with that big dinner the other night.
Well, I'm through with him. Jerry's coming over in a few minutes, and we're going to talk business.
Did he quit, too?
Mm-hmm. We're going to start a plant of our own.
Van.
Like it?
It's wonderful.
I figured it was about time I got out and did something big.
You'll do big things, Van. I know you will.
Hey, what do you say we take Jerry and go out and celebrate, huh?
I'd love it, honey.
We're going places and do up the town, honey. Put the stuff on the stove back in the icebox. I'll buy us a dinner at the best restaurant. Oh, that's Jerry now.
I'll get it.
Uh-huh.
Hiya, Brain.
It's Jerry, all right.
Come on in.
Well, no more rides to work.
Nope.
Trouble was, we never knew how smart Van here was, Judy.
He's swell-headed enough.
Well, I have a right to be.
I don't deny that, big shot. Now, come on, let's talk business. You build 'em and I'll sell 'em.
I'll get dressed.
You going out?
We're all going out and celebrate.
Hey, that's all right.
Now, I want to talk over a few things first.
Sure, Chief, sure.
Well, first of all, I think I got all the papers straight on the patent knife. That ought to be our first product.
You know best, Van.
I'll design the dies for it as soon as I can, Jerry. Now, what about the factory building?
Well, I went over on my lunch hour like you told me to.
Good.
Van.
And just as you thought, we can get it cheap if we play it careful.
Van.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess. Go on.
So I told the guy we'd let him know tomorrow.
Van, wake up.
Hey, are you listening to me?
Yeah, sure I am. Go ahead.
Act like somebody's bothering you.
I don't know. I just feel funny.
Hungry?
Van.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I'll get Jody and we'll go out.
Now you're talking my language.
Van, will you please wake up?
Can you beat it? For years, we drive past that plant.
You'll be late again.
Now you and me will be running the place ourselves.
Jerry's outside honking, Van.
Too bad you're Van instead of Tom. Then we'd be Tom and Jerry Incorporated. Pretty neat, huh?
Van, will you wake up?
Yeah, we'll all have Tom and Jerry. Not bad.
Van.
Hmm? Oh. I thought you were dressed, Jody.
Well, I don't have time to dress when you oversleep. And will you please tell that Jerry to stop honking?
Jerry? Oh, Jerry, yeah.
I'll fix you some coffee for breakfast while you get dressed.
Yeah, all right, Jody. I'm stiff.
I should think you would be after sleeping on the couch all night. Some people don't have sense enough to come to bed.
Yeah. You should have awakened me.
I can't be bothered. You stop that honking.
All right, honey. I'll tell Jerry to wait a minute. Yeah. He stopped, Jody.
He'd better. I don't see why you can't take a streetcar to work instead of riding with that bum.
Oh, he isn't a bum, honey. He's just a...
Hey, are you coming or not?
I'll be ready in a minute, Jerry.
Well, I don't want to be late again just because of you.
Don't you believe in knocking before you enter a house?
Not when I'm in a hurry.
Some men...
I feel sorry for some of them myself.
What was that?
How about it, Van? You coming?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I haven't the coffee made, so you'll have to do without it.
Oh, that's all right, honey.
What'd you do, sleep in your clothes all night?
I guess they're just rumpled.
Well, come on.
Van.
Yes, Jody.
I think you better go in and apologize to Mr. Evans.
Oh, I can't just walk in and see him.
You tried to walk in and eat with him last night, so you can walk in and apologize this morning. Tell him it was a joke. Tell him anything.
All right, I will.
Are you coming?
Yes, sure, Jerry.
You're going to have to take your car to work next week. Mine's going to be in a shop.
Yeah, sure.
It's your week to drive us anyway. What apologize the old man Evans for?
Oh, crazy thing that happened last night.
What's this about eating with him?
Oh, just a joke.
Some joke?
Yeah.
Old man Evans would no more ask you to dinner than he would me. And he's never going to ask me, I can tell you.
No, I guess not. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
You really think we can get the plant?
Huh? What plant?
The government plant over there. Remember we were talking about it?
When were we talking about it?
Well, just last... I don't know. Forget it.
What'd you do? Hang one on last night?
I was thinking about something else.
I guess you were. What would we do with a factory like that?
Nothing, I guess.
White elephant, that plant is. War over, no good for anything.
No, it isn't.
Now look, Van, you got to be more like me if you're going to get along.
Yeah, I
know. A million times I told you. You got to tell people off or they walk all over you. You got to be boss.
Yeah.
Jody's a swell woman and all that, but you got to be boss.
She's my wife, Jerry.
Now you do what I tell you, you'll be happy.
I'm happy. We rode down to the Rustlin Martin plant as we had 1,000 days before. And Jerry said the same things he'd said 1,000 times before. Jerry meant well, but it was strange he didn't remember about the plant. I could see he didn't remember. That's why there wasn't any use in talking to him. When we got to work, I thought about what Jody told me to do, but I didn't go to see Mr. Evans. So the rest of the week, I kept giving her reasons why I hadn't gone to Mr. Evans, and each morning, she'd remind me to see him. She was still reminding me the next week when it was my turn to take Jerry and me in my car. It'd been hot all day. I was tired when I drove down Lane Avenue with Jerry half asleep in the seat beside me. Give Jody another good reason why I hadn't seen Mr. Evans. It was a long, straight road, long and hot, with a good reason for Mr. Evans, a good reason.
I thought you'd like this place, Marola. That's why I asked you to have lunch here. Of course. I had another good reason, too.
Yes, I suppose you did, Mr. Evans. You're not the type of man who does anything without a reason.
I'm a man who comes directly to the point.
That's fine. So am I.
When you and your lovely wife had dinner with me the other evening...
Well, that was a fine dinner.
Glad you liked it.
Uh-huh. Well, come to the point.
Well, I wanted to find out your reason for quitting us.
I see.
There was a great future for you with Rustlin' Martin.
I don't think so.
Oh, I'd had my eye on you.
I'm sure you have.
I'll stop playing with words. Is it true you and this Jerry have opened the government plant? You going to make knives there?
That's right.
You'll be in competition with Rustlin' Martin.
Oh, we realize that.
I'm a tough man to buck, Marola.
We can do it.
Now, look here. We can use men with ideas.
Ah, you had your chance.
Oh, I know you went a long time without any recognition.
Sorry, Evans. We've already made plans. We'll be in production on our new style kitchen knife within a month. It's too late for us to stop.
Well, I'm a fair man, Marola. I wish you luck. It'll be a friendly rivalry. And come up again for dinner.
Well, thanks. I don't think we'll take up that.
Hey, what have we hit? Are you all right, Ben?
It's a good knife. It'll outsell.
Hey, Ben! Ben! You okay?
Huh? Oh.
Are you hurt?
Oh. No, I'm not hurt.
Cars over on its side. Gotta get out. You might burn.
What happened?
You ask me. Let's get out.
My sleeve is torn.
You should worry about your sleeve. Look at your car.
Oh, front end smashed in.
What happened anyway?
Didn't you see?
I was sleeping.
Well, I...
Must have hit that wall there, then turned over.
Yeah.
How come you did that?
I don't know.
Looks like you skidded on the car tracks.
Yeah, I guess that was it.
Your guess? Don't you know?
Well, you see, Jerry, Mr. Evans and I were talking.
Who?
Mr. Evans.
Is he here?
No, we were sitting. Music.
Well, here comes the cops.
What do they want?
You find out. Now, listen, Van, you got to give them a good story. You tell them just what I say.
Why?
Tell them you blew a tire. Then it's not a criminal case.
Criminal?
Stick to your story, you hear me? A tire blew and threw you into the wall.
Criminal?
Don't worry. You'll get out of it.
All right, what happened? You the driver?
No, he was.
Well?
Tire blew.
That make you go clean across the street and ram that building?
Tire blew.
We'll see. Frankie, check the tires on the rack and get witnesses.
Okay, sir.
Now, you sure you want to stick to the tire story?
Sure, and along when all of a sudden there was a big boom like a gunshot. That's what I thought it was. Then we started to swerve. Pretty soon we hit the building.
Is that right?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, stay here a minute. I'll be back.
It's okay, Van. I fixed it.
Jody wanted to use the car tonight.
Well, she's sure not going to use it now. It
cost a lot of money to have it fixed.
You better worry about fixing the side of that building.
Yeah, I'll have to pay for it.
The building didn't jump out and hit you, remember?
No.
Well, you sure you want to stick to that tire story?
Well, yeah.
Okay, you better come with me.
What for?
Get booked.
Jail. What'd he do?
Jail.
The tires on your jalopy show no blowout, and Frankie says you must have been doing 50 to knock a hole in the building like you did. This is a 30-mile zone.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, if you're his friend, you better see what you can do about getting bond for him.
Put me in jail.
You don't smell it, but witnesses say it looked like a clear case of drunken driving. We're having none of that in this town.
Drunk.
He's not drunk.
Maybe not. We'll find out soon enough down at the station. Come on, you.
No. Now, don't worry, Fan. I'll get Jody. We'll get you out quick. Now, don't worry now.
I can't. I can't go.
Sure you can. Just like this. Come on.
Criminal. Jail. It was late night before they came, Jerry and Jody. They had the guard unlock the door and let me out. Good old Jerry. And she was mad. Dear sweet Jody. They said it'd come up in court the next week, so each day when I went to work, I'd look at the calendar next to my machine and count the days before the trial. The car was being fixed, so Jerry and I went to work on the streetcar until his car was out of the shop. I'd sit there at my rotary grinder and watch the calendar. I didn't have to mark the days off. I knew when they were. It was tomorrow. I'd have to go watch it, watch it, watch it.
Well, it's my own plant, and I can do what I want in it.
Mr. Marola here, first bet his shirt, then his suit, and he lost.
I wish I could have seen you in front of all those men in just a pair of shorts, darling.
Well, we had a lot of fun.
The boys love you for it.
They're fine fellas.
It's sure a busy place, isn't it?
Honey, the way Jerry's selling, we have to keep busy.
And just a short time ago, nobody wanted the place.
We'll have old man Al Evans out of business before long. You wait and see.
Oh, I don't want to do the old boy any harm.
Van, you're too nice.
Oh, Van can be tough when he has to be, Mrs. Marola.
Well, I'm married to a caveman.
You ought to know.
Am I a caveman?
Show me.
Oh. Hey, not in the shop. You want to disrupt plant morale?
She's my wife, isn't she?
I'd better be.
Come here.
Van.
Hello, honey.
I'm proud of you, dear. You're my husband, my sweetheart, my...
Hey, what's going on here? You crazy, don't shut it off.
Gotta be proud of me.
Shut it off. What's the matter, Marola? You fall asleep?
Oh, don't mind us,
Fred. What? You dumb jeebie, look what you've done. Hmm? You ground it clean out. There's nothing left.
I did?
And it's the last time. You've been falling off for months now, but this is the end of the line.
End of the line?
That's what I said. I tried to be patient with you, Marola. I've covered up your mistakes as best I could. Now you got to go to the big boss.
Mr. Evans? What for?
He's got a rule. Don't fire anybody. Let him do the firing.
Firing?
I'm sorry, but that's how it's got to be. Can't let my shop efficiency fall down because of one man.
You're firing me.
I'm not firing you. The big boss does that. He wants to be sure every case is justified.
I won't have a job.
This ain't your kind of work, Marola. I've been seeing it all along. Now, come on.
I don't want to see Mr. Evans.
You've got to. Come on.
Fired.
There he is over there, I think. Come on.
Criminal.
It's a bad thing to let one of them Blanchards bear down full, wrecks everything.
Jail.
Oh, like getting out of jail, huh? Well, I don't blame you. It's hard work. What the jeebies, the pay is good.
Good? Get into full production.
Now, Mr. Evans.
Yes?
This is Marola, sir. I'm letting him go. He's been dropping off in efficiency, late to work, low output, and today he burned up the Blanchard.
I see. Too bad. Well, what's your side of the story, Marola? Well, don't be afraid. Speak up.
Hey, he looks funny.
Mr. Evans, I won't talk any merger until I've heard from Jerry.
Now, Van. I know you're the brains of your outfit. That's why I came here to your office.
I'm sorry, Evans. Jerry started out with me on this thing, and I'm a fair person. I believe he should have a voice in the matter.
What kind of talk is that?
I don't know. Say, aren't you the Marola who brought his wife out to my home? Thought I'd invited you to dinner? Yes, you are.
Well, of course, I know how Jerry feels. I think he'd agree to merger with your company on one condition.
Well, it would have to be a hard one to meet before I'd refuse.
All right, Evans. Here it is. You'll retire from the business immediately, and we'll take over both plants. We'll give you 23% of our stock issue for your factory and good name.
That's a hard bargain.
I'm afraid that's the only one we'll accept.
All right. It's a deal.
Well, Marola, go on and speak up. Mr. Evans here is giving you a chance.
Wait a minute.
What is it?
This man's sick.
He ought to be after what he did to that Blanchard.
I'm glad you accepted, Mr. Evans. I don't like to be harsh to any man, but you are our strongest competitor, and after all, business is business.
I understand, my boy. Say, this is certainly a beautiful office.
Yeah, we've been doing all right.
This man needs a doctor. You'd better call his wife.
Yeah, I will. I'll get his pal, Jerry, to help.
Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Evans, my wife is waiting outside in the car. We're going to take a little vacation out west. As a matter of fact, you can take a vacation yourself now. How about it, huh?
Yes, indeed. Well, good luck. I'll see you when we get back. That'll be a long time.
I got my car. I'll take him.
Hello, honey. Sorry to keep you waiting.
You and your business.
Well, we're through with it for a while anyway.
I've been waiting so long for this, Van.
And now we're starting.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Oh, I feel great. Like a new man, Jody. Jerry's staying to take care of the plant, why, everything will be fine. We'll just drive and drive until we hit the sunset. Oh, it's good to be alive.
I have examined him very carefully, Mrs. Marola.
What can I do, Doctor? What can I do for him?
There's not much we can do at the moment.
But what is it?
Please be calm, Mrs. Marola. Maybe a month, a year, perhaps longer. It's hard to tell about schizophrenia. Some return slowly, others overnight.
Van. Van, dear, please. For me. Van. It's Jody. Jody. Van.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh, no. Don't worry, honey.
What did you say? Why did you stop humming, dear? I like it.
Oh, I don't know. I thought I remembered something. Oh, well, it slipped my mind.
How do you like the new car?
I like you better.
Now, wait. I have to drive.
All right, honey.
It's a wonderful day.
Oh, yeah. Ah, wonderful.
Title, Metamorphosized, a story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. And heard in Metamorphosized's van was Ross Martin with Abby Lewis, Mort Lawrence, and Phil Sterling. Musical effects were by John Winters. So until we meet again, look around you wherever you are. Watch it, but don't live it. This thing we call high adventure.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Most people are asleep in the wee hours of the morning. Most people, but not hard-hitting Charlie Wilde. Charlie is the new private eye who hits his stride between midnight and dawn. But you won't have to stay awake all night to hear Charlie Wilde. Yes, for the benefit of us daytime folks, Charlie will recount another of his perilous escapades a little later this afternoon. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
At the gallop! Oh!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
He alive, Harrison?
No, Saeed.
Move him back with the others.
In the name of heaven, Captain, how could he be alive? Look at him.
Move him back, Harrison. Lieutenant Syberts is directing the grave detail. Now give him a hand.
We gonna bury them all?
It's the least we can do.
I can't do it, Captain Quince. I can't. I'm all hot and cold in my belly. I just can't look at any more of this.
You get a firm grip on that belly of yours, Harrison. This kind of cleanup's got to be done. Now, don't look, don't think, just do your work.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'll do that.
I'm on my fifth, Captain.
All right, Hook.
Two of them was old ladies. I figured they was too old for travel anyway.
See, those graves are cairned.
Lieutenant's seeing to that, Captain. All I gotta do is dig them. Count 12 wagons burning. Them engines don't leave nothing to chance.
No, not much.
They shoot them full of arrows, full of lead, then hack them up. For good measure, they set fire to them.
Better get back to work, Hook.
You're a sight safer in the army than in one of them wagon trains, ain't you, Captain?
Sometimes, Hook. Sometimes.
Captain Quince.
Yeah?
Maybe you ought to speak to the lieutenant.
How's that?
He's fair carried away with all his burying stuff. I declare he'll be laying the dead stock to rest next, so as he can speak words over them.
That all, Hook?
You ought to take a look, Captain. I think it's real touching.
Thinking's not any part of you, Hook, any more than feeling is. I don't want to see that spade of yours stop the next 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quinn, over here.
This one's still alive.
He conscious?
I just come on him. I heard him.
Mister?
Sioux. Hundreds of Sioux.
Must have read it from the South, Hazen. If it was Sioux.
I gave the major that report. They've been building up to something for months now.
Mister. How many people in your train, mister? We counted 12 wagons.
We hit 52. 52. And they took...
Only 50 bodies, Captain. Lieutenant Syberts and I just took count.
You sure, Hazen?
No.
Yes, sir. 49 dead and this one.
No. Beasley. It took the Beasley girls. It took...
Make that 50 dead, Hazen.
Yeah. You going after him?
With 20 men? No, we'll be another couple of hours here, and it'll still take us three more to get back to the fort.
Them girls, that's... Well, dying's easier, Captain.
You're telling me something I don't know, Hazen? Yeah, I'll go after them when I stand a chance of getting them. Meantime, you pick up the trail.
Yes, sir. I ought to come on the Sioux camp before night. If I do, I'll make it back to the fort by daylight.
I'm going after him at sunup, whether you're back or not.
Suppose you had the company with you, then what?
We'd have finished our burying a little earlier, Major.
That's all?
That's all.
Captain, I have to make a report to Washington. I'd like to make it look as if the Army meant something out here. So far, I can tell them that a patrol of 20 men arrived in time to bury the members of an entire wagon train.
Would it make your report read any better if you told them a whole company arrived in time to bury them, Major?
I'm not interested in your impertinence, Captain.
I'm not interested in your report, sir.
All right, all right. Look, I know you don't think much of paperwork, Lee. Reports to Washington, all this... But the point is, it all has to be done, whether you like it or not.
My point is, we'd have been just as late with 80 men as we were with 20. You'd still have to report 50 dead and 2 missing.
I don't like to think about those young women.
Somebody better think about them.
You've seen what... Well, you know the savagery they're bound to endure. How soon can you leave, Captain?
At dawn, whether Hazen's back or not.
You sent him on ahead?
He's been scouting the Sioux territory for the last few months. If they've gone back south, we'll find them.
I suppose you'll want the company this time.
I'd want more than one company if I intended to go after him.
There's only one company available, Captain.
Major, I'd like to bargain with them.
Bargain? After a massacre like this?
Yes, sir. If we don't have the men to fight it out with them.
What kind of bargain?
Big Elk. Big Elk for the young women.
I don't know. He wasn't easily captured, Quince.
I know. I brought him in.
He's not doing us much good lying around the stockade. I suppose the Sioux consider him valuable enough to trade for him.
He's a chief.
What if Hazen isn't back by morning? If you expect to find those young women alive, you can't wait much longer.
We may pick Hazen up on the trail, but Big Elk can lead us to the camp.
Yeah, but will he?
To get out of the stockade? Yeah, he'll lead us. You'll understand he's not free till he does.
You better talk to him, Quince. Report back to me tonight.
I'd like to leave at sunup, sir.
If we're satisfied that Big Elk's our best chance, you'll pass the head of your column through the main gates half an hour before reveille tomorrow morning.
Right, sir. You men be better off in your bunks.
Try kill me.
I will. I get the chance.
Something on your mind, Hook?
He's just tormenting him, Captain. Big Elk asked for a drink. Hook here gave him some bilge water. But it wouldn't have killed him.
Just made him good and sick like he makes me.
You're to leave him alone, Hook.
Hey, let them white women alone, Captain. Not one of them Injuns is leaving them be.
You're all hard, aren't you, Hook? Now get back to your quarters, all of you. We're going after the women before reveille.
Tattoo ain't sounded yet, Captain.
What did you say, Trooper?
Nothing, sir. Come on.
Here you are. Here, you can drink this, Big Elk.
White man, no friend. Try kill me.
I could have killed you 2 months ago. I brought you here instead. Now go on, drink it. It's from my own canteen.
Good water. Good water. Put out fire and belly.
Your people still hold big camp on Lodgepole Creek?
Big Elk no see people many moon. But brother white man only.
White man no brother, Big Elk.
The hunting's still good along Lodge Pole. Good grass, good water. Why would they move camp?
Not know.
If we let you go, Big Elk, you could find your people.
Big Elk, big coup for white man. White man no let Big Elk go.
Well, if you couldn't find your way back, no sense talking to you.
Hey, wait.
Why? You don't know where your people are.
Why you let Big Elk go?
A fair trade. You lead us to the Sioux camp. We'll trade you to your tribe for the white women they have.
No trade.
Your people don't think much of you, do they?
Big Elk hold high honor in tribe. All Sioux proud warrior, hunter, leader, Big Elk.
Then why won't they trade?
White man no trade Big Elk for white woman.
That's just where you're wrong. White men go pretty high on their women folk.
Captain, you play trick?
No trick. You have my word.
No trick. Then Big Elk, give word. We'll lead to Sioux camp.
You still put a lot of store in that captain of yours, Harrison? You still think he knows all there is that's right?
Captain Quince knows what he's about. You see he does.
Kind of gnaws at your innards, though, don't it? Him plain eating out of that Injun's hand.
You're just trying to rile me, Hook. And I ain't giving you the satisfaction.
Look at him, Harrison. The Injun pokes his head to the right, we move to the right. Same with the left. He poke his head straight up, your old Captain Quince, he'd have us climb in the air.
You'd best keep your face shut, Hook. I swear you keep me no telling what I'll do.
You'll do like you're told. No more. That captain would tell you do anything at all. You'd bust yourself doing it. You're gonna grow up licking boots all the way?
I ain't snapping at your bait no more. You can talk all you like, I just ain't listening. I'm just riding along here and I don't even know no dumb trooper named Hook.
Ain't just me talking, bootlicker. It don't set well with a single white man riding in this column being led around by no Injun. You giving any thought to them white women, Harrison? You ever seen one once the bunch of Injuns got through with her?
Well, we're doing a decent thing, ain't we? We're going after them.
No, we ain't. We just out riding around, Harrison. Following an Injun wherever he means to take us. Like as not, he's leading us into an ambush right this minute.
I ain't listening to you again, Hook. Ain't hearing a word you say.
I tell you one thing, bootlicker. That's a dead Injun up there. He don't know it yet. But he's just as dead as he can be.
Call halt!
Men, we're about an hour from Bear Creek. There's still daylight enough to see us there. We'll bivouac there for the night.
Rider coming this way, sir.
I know, Syberts. I think it's Hazen. The word on the Sioux camp.
I'm meaning to make a camp here, are you, Captain?
Oh, we're heading to Bear Creek for the night.
That's more like it. With water there, grass, natural camp. You just a day out of Fort Laramie?
Left the post just at sunup.
Made good time.
Well, Big Elk's picking the trail.
Good job. You're right on the line of the Sioux camp. You leave Bear Creek at sunup, you'll make it to Lodge Pole Creek by mid-morning.
Fair enough.
You got reinforcements coming?
I'm riding in under a white flag. I plan to trade Big Elk for the white women.
Oh, might work. I got in awful close. Don't even think they got scouts out. Leastwise, I didn't see any.
Any sign of the women?
Not likely there would be. No, Captain, the Sioux were looking awful peaceful. For your sakes, I hope they are.
You sent for me, sir?
Yeah, sit down, Mr. Syberts.
Thank you, sir.
What's the talk among the men?
You know the men, Captain, just camp talk.
Just camp talk?
That's all, sir.
Well, that's good. I had an idea maybe feeling was running a little high against Big Elk.
Well, it is. You know, men feeling the way they do about the Sioux capturing the white women, they're taking on with him a little.
What do you mean?
Well, Josh and him making threats, little things. Well, for example, he's half starving, I guess, and thirsty, of course.
So?
Well, they keep putting food and water just out of his reach.
And you stood there and let it happen, Mr. Syberts?
Well, sir...
Just camp talk, Mr. Syberts.
It's more my fault, Captain. You can't blame the men.
I can blame the men, and I can blame you. I gave my word.
Look out! He broke free! Pick it!
Hold your fire! Don't shoot any of you! Hold your fire!
Watch it, Captain. He's coming your way.
I go. White man, they try to kill me.
Now, nobody's going to kill you. Now, listen to me. I won't let anyone harm you.
Your word no mean much. White man, no honor.
What do you know about honor?
Quiet! Quiet, all of you! Quiet! Now, listen to me. And understand me. I don't know what's behind all this, but for your sakes, I'm going to put it down to your feeling for the captured white women. All right, quiet! We'll lay it to that for now. But I'm not forgetting what happened here. Now use your heads. Big Elk's our best chance to get those women out of the Sioux camp safely. Maybe our only chance. I gave him my word there'd be no tricks. The stockade's waiting for the next man who abuses him. Any questions? Harrison?
Yes, sir?
See that there's water and warm food for Big Elk.
Right away, sir.
Now, any of you get any ideas, I'll be waiting for you. That's all. Dismissed. All right, Big Elk.
Captain Quince. I'm sorry, sir. I should have stopped all that.
Any man could have stopped it, Mr. Syberts.
But being an officer and all, I should have.
The Army saw fit to make you an officer, Mr. Syberts. Being a man is entirely up to you.
I just didn't...
That's all, Mr. Syberts.
Camp of my people in valley below. Big Elk, keep word.
Big Elk, if I had a home like that, I'd never leave it.
Red men first here. Then white man come with gun.
Yeah, I know. I'll take the flag, Mr. Syberts. You have your orders?
Yes, sir.
We'll ride in under your cover. There's to be no firing unless there's trouble. If I drop the white flag, that'll be your signal to open fire. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then pass the word. Big Elk and I are riding in.
Good luck, Captain.
You lead, Big Elk. No sign of your scouts yet.
My people expect no trouble.
There'll be no trouble.
Big Elk turned back on white men. Not safe. No trust.
I've kept my word, Big Elk. The rest is up to your chiefs.
Big Elk knows fear.
Oh, you're safe with me.
No. Big Elk no trust. He's crazy.
You crazy fool! Stop it! Stop!
Stupid murdering swine.
It was Hook shot him, sir, before anyone could stop him.
He'll rot in the stockade for this. Stand a horse! Stand a horse! Lieutenant Seibert, move the company back immediately.
I know how you feel, Captain, but it's done. The man will be dealt with fully.
Major, it was the coldest kind of murder.
You're lucky you get out of there alive, especially you. Right now, I'm thinking about those white women.
I don't think there's a chance they're alive now. The Sioux will take this out on somebody, and they're handiest.
We can't think about that. We're going after those women this time with every man in our command.
With at least 1,000 Sioux at Lodgepole Creek?
We'll do our best, Captain.
If Gorse had been with me, I'd have seen this since.
Sergeant Gorse was accompanying the first wagon train through.
I know that. It's my own stupidity.
Stupidity? Surely you're not blaming yourself.
For taking Hook on that patrol, you bet I am. I'm long enough in the Army to spot a troublemaker.
You're not thinking straight, Lee. I count on your judgment because it's cool and straight. You're no good to me in this turn of mine.
Major, my guts are crawling now. What do you want?
I want an officer with head enough to command Company B to engage the Sioux.
All right, sir. You got one. I'm all right.
Captain Matheson moved into the post yesterday with C Company. With Meade's infantry and howitzers, we should give you the cover you need.
I'm not used to this much support, Major. Might get lost in that crowd.
Your job is to get those women and get out. After your initial charge, the main fighting's up to C Company and the infantry.
Yes, sir. Get the women, bring them here.
And you'll stand by as reinforcements for Matheson and Meade.
Right.
Yes?
Major?
Come in.
Captain?
Hazen?
We're going to need your help, Hazen.
Well, there's a chance you can surprise him. They're on the move.
Which way?
North and to the west. Where's your map?
Right here.
Yeah. This was their main camp at Lodgefall.
Uh-huh.
Now, they moved along the valley where you were, Captain. Along the stream and then up to Horse Creek there. Then branched up to Bear Creek near Iron Mountain right there.
We bivouacked there.
You were a little to the east, but no matter. They moved across to Chugwater along here, see? And followed along the Laramie Range there.
A whole lodgepole camp on the move?
All of them. But this is where I think you can get them. If it's still the Beasley girls you're after.
They're our first objective.
All right. The warriors, the main force of the tribe, they're well up front, moving ahead. They're not expecting any trouble from the rear. And so that's where they got their squaws and old folks and young'uns.
Yeah, likely the Beasley women are back there with them.
It's a near cinch.
Where are they now, in your judgment?
The natural camp spot's about there, on the Laramie River. Moving slow like they got to along that range, they should make camp there tonight. If it was me, I wouldn't wait for sunup to move in.
He's right, Major.
Can you have B Company ready to move out by dusk?
I can.
Pass the word, Captain. Report back in half an hour. Matheson and Meade will be here. We'll lay out a full plan.
Right, sir. Mr. Seibert?
Right here, Captain.
Men filed out in position?
Yes, sir. As ordered.
Harrison, move up.
Yes, sir.
Harrison, you'll flank me on the charge. We're going to bring those women out, you understand?
I sure do, sir.
Good.
Proud to.
Company!
Company!
At the trap! Oh!
Captain.
They're running for cover, sir.
We stampeded their horses. They gotta take cover.
Meade's infantry. We're covered, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Seibert. Keep at them. Harrison, over here. This way. The lodges, over here.
There's a squaw, Captain.
I'll get her.
No, no kill squaw.
The white women, where are they?
No white woman. No kill squaw.
Now, where are they?
Lodge. There. All safe. No kill.
This way, Harrison.
Well, sir.
Harrison!
Captain Quince, it's them women, them Beasley girls. Why, they can't be over 5, 6 years old, either one of them.
I know. Come on, Harrison. Let's get these women out of here.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Harry Bartell, Sam Edwards, Lawrence Dobkin, Lou Krugman, James Nusser, and Lillian Baev.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The groups which you support through Easter Seals duplicate the work of no other groups, yet there are more than 1,600 of them. These Easter Seal societies serve the many unmet needs of the crippled. This year, the national goal is $12 million. If your family has received a quota of seals in the mail, send your money in the return envelopes which came with the seals. Or if you wish to contribute directly, send your money to Crippled Children, care of your local post office. This has been a public service message from CBS Radio.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from High Adventure, Fort Laramie, past episodes of the Relic Radio Show, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available there, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. That's how we keep coming to you every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.